I announced you
that we have a situation in which this condition, tangent cone equal to the linearizing set, is always true. Okay. So a class of problems where this is always satisfied, so we don't have troubles to get the KKT conditions. Okay. And guess what it is? Okay, I'll try to see if you guess the answer with some hints. What are we doing with the linearizing set? We are taking the constraints and we are replacing them with first order Taylor's approximation. Okay. So first order Taylor approximation has some error. Okay. So it's not an exact representation of the function at the point. You have some error, which you can control, but you have some error. Okay. The smaller the error is, the better the approximation is. Okay. So which is the best fit when this error is zero? Okay. And when is this possible? Yes, okay, say in other words, Taylor's formula is exact, no error, when the function is linear. Okay. So, when we are dealing with linear constraints, and so as it was said, capital X is a polyhedron, this is always satisfied. Okay. So, let's say it this way. Let's suppose capital X is given this way. It's a polyhedron, it's a polytope, so it's the set of X in a rank such that AX is less or equal than B component wise, where A is M times n matrix and B is a vector in R. Okay. You can prove that if this is the case and you take X bar in capital X, then the tangent cone and the linearizing cone are the same. And so, you have the basic for constraints qualification. You can follow this scheme here. Okay. That's perfect. Okay. Indeed, the ones of you who got operational research classes, got linear programming classes, studied linear programs, linear object functions over a region like this, and you never heard about constraint qualification. Okay? And this is the reason. The actual reason is this one. Okay? Because linear constraints are, let's say, qualified by nature, by their own nature. And so, since I spoke a little bit about linear programming, let me use it. So I want to use it. So let's focus for a moment. The first and only moment is a course on linear programming. Which is what we have seen, this is the region, and what we want to minimize, your standard theme was to maximize, okay? Maximize some linear function, let's say some C times F over capital, the polynomial of capital F. Okay. So this is the linear program you were used to. Okay? You spent weeks and weeks studying this in your undergraduate course, and you had algorithms for this and so on. Well, probably it's not the only time we will be talking about this platform. Okay. I spoke about minimization problems, so we can turn this into a minimization problem, just remembering that this is equivalent up to sine minus, just switching the sign of the object is minus. So rather than maximizing Cx, you minimize minus Cx. Okay? So I spent 5 minutes on this one. Oh, I will forget about the minus one, okay? The minus in front is just to give the right sign to the optimal value. So f of x is minus c x. Okay. What about the functions? So here I wrote it in a vector form. Okay. This is meant component wise. Otherwise, I should say the first row of A times X is less or equal than V1. The second row of F of A times X is less or equal than V2, and so on. Okay. But if I write that component by component, then I get this GI function, which is AIX minus BI. Okay? Let's say capital A is done this way. A1, A2, AN. Okay, so AIs are row vectors. Okay, so here I don't put the sign. Now, I want to see KKT conditions. I need the group, so we know that we have KKT conditions because this is always true, so we can go down this way. And I want to see the shape of KKT conditions. Okay? Now, I need blackboard. I don't want to cancel. I want to cancel nothing, but I can. So, okay, let's try it here. The gradient of F is what? Come on, it's a linear function, this is the vector of the coefficient, the gradient is that vector. So the gradient is minus C at any point X. Okay? And what about the gradient of GI? AI, exactly. I didn't understand it what you mean. Okay, they are linear as well, so this is the vector of coefficient, so it is linear. Okay, now we have everything, and I can write KKT conditions. So if we write them here, okay, using, let's say, orange. Okay. So let's check this. This becomes, okay, first I write it here. Minus C plus the sum lambda I AI equals 0. if you want to write it in another way, C is equal to this sum. Okay. What is this sum? Consider the vector lambda. Consider lambda the vector lambda 1, lambda n. Okay. Lambda I, AI, is nothing else of what? If I do lambda transpose A, what do I get? Lambda I, lambda 1 multiplies this row, lambda 1, lambda 2, lambda n, for each of the components. So I am exactly getting this vector here. Okay. So this vector is lambda A. And so this is lambda A equals C. So the Lagrange multiplier is telling you that lambda A is equal to C. Then here, this is written component by component. We can write it compactly this way. All the components of lambda have to be greater or equal to C. Okay. Then, Gi at x bar have to be less or equal to 0, means that all of this must be true. Ai x bar less or equal than bi. If we write them in a vector form, they become a x bar less or equal than 0. Okay? Because it's ai x bar less or equal than bi. And then we are left with another one. This is lambda I, gi at x bar. Okay? So we can write it, lambda I, ai x minus bi equals 0. Okay? Just to make it more consistent with your notes from the undergraduate program, I multiply by minus 1 and it doesn't change. Okay? So I can write it because okay, here we have the KKT condition. 1, 2, 3 and 4. Do you recognize anything? Okay, some, at least a couple of years have passed for all of you, but you remember? This means that x bar is feasible. Okay? When you were studying this problem here, you were studying this, let me cancel this, together with another problem which was called the dual, okay, and which had this shape, minimize lambda B times lambda A equals C, lambda greater or equal than 1. These were the constraints. Okay? Oh, you see? Lambda is the vector of multipliers. And the multipliers rule is telling you this must be satisfied. Non-negativity is telling you this must be satisfied. And what is that? Is that the vector of multipliers satisfy the constraints of the dual problem. So it's a feasible solution for the dual problem. Okay? So we are just left with one condition. The blue one is telling you x bar is feasible for our linear program. up there in the blue box. Lagrange multipliers rule with non-negative of the multipliers, the yellow boxes, are telling you that lambda is a feasible solution for the dual linear program. What are we left with? We are left with these purple conditions here. Do you remember them? All the primals here, this is telling you all lambda I, the dual variable, is zero, or the primal or the corresponding constraint in the primal program is active. Okay? Lambda I, sorry, bi equals ai at far. You call this out complementarity condition. Where do they come from? They come from KKT conditions. They are nothing else than Kerr's Kontaker conditions for linear programming. Okay? You didn't study KKT conditions. You didn't study this stuff. But you had a theorem saying, let's take a solution x bar which is feasible for our linear program. Let's take lambda bar which is feasible for, sorry, lambda, which is feasible for the dual program. Then x bar is a solution of the primal problem and lambda is a solution of the dual problem, if and only if they satisfy the complementarity conditions here. Complementarity is likeness condition. That's the complementarity. It's all, no, sorry, it's not all. It is this stuff. Okay? It is the coverage from data conditions for linear programming. Okay? You should raise your hand and say, okay, but you told us linear programming if and only if. Okay? While here, we are saying just that KKT conditions are a necessary optimality condition, so you are saying only if. Okay? So it's true, up to now I told you a bit less, but I will tell in a moment, no, I tell it now, that you can prove that if f is convex and the gi's are all convex functions, then KKT conditions are necessary and sufficient for optimality if a constraint qualification is satisfied. Okay? If we have this correspondence between geometry and algebra. Okay? Under a constraint qualification, KKT conditions are necessary and sufficient for optimality for a convex problem, where everything in fact is convex. Subjective function is convex, constraining functions are convex. Okay? And you recover linear programming at a particular case. Okay? So, Lagrange multipliers in linear programming are nothing else than the solutions, the feasible solutions of the dual problem. Okay. And complementarity slackness is what gives optimality after that case. Okay. So when you do linear programming, underneath, without that is without being told, you are facing Kerr's-Kontaker optimality conditions. Okay? You are facing Lagrange multipliers without saying. Okay? And indeed, since everything is linear and movie and smooth and easy to deal with, you can make very easy proofs. Okay? There are just some algebraic passages. Okay. But this is what height below, okay? Constraint qualification, which is always satisfied, and this argument for KK difference.
Okay? If I have time, if we have all the three lectures next week, I will end the course giving you the specific of some particular methods for nonlinear programming, which are widespreadly used for solving linear programs, okay, without relying on the simplex algorithms you learned a couple of years ago. I'm left with what? Okay. I told you about the sufficiency in the convex case. I'm left with just one situation. What if we have equality constraints? Okay, so let me come to linear. So now let's suppose that capital X is given through inequalities and equalities. Okay, you have n inequalities and you have, let's say, p equalities. So the novelty lies here. We also know that if we want capital X to be convex, okay, the best thing is to have that the H, J functions are affine. Okay? So like in the linear case. Or linear inequality constraints. Like in the answer. Okay, I was born a mathematician, so when I entered the university, I was born that way. I would like to go back to the previous case, okay? The way you need to handle things. I have a case that works in equality constraints. I have equality constraints, I want to do that. So, first thing I'm thinking of is, well, an equality constraint is just a pair of inequalities. Okay? I could stop here. Okay? But I would be lying to you. Okay? I would be lying to you because let's see our approach. Okay? Our approach goes here. Let's see this system here. Okay. And let's write this condition here for a single equality constraint treated as two inequalities. Okay. This would create these two conditions. Oh, and equality constraint is necessarily active, okay, at the physical point. But the condition will read this. Or switching the sign. In that system, I would have both this inequality and its opposite. And they are strict inequality. So, this system here would be with no solution
always, at any point. Okay. So, the easiest approach of a mathematician in this framework, unluckily, doesn't work. Okay. Because if you try to redo all the theory, you end up that this necessary condition here is too weak. Okay? When you move from here to here, you are relaxing the optimality condition so much, okay, that it becomes meaningless because it is satisfied at any point. Okay? So this does not work. And indeed, just think about the linearizing set, okay? The strict linearizing set. It would contain both this. Okay? So if you repeat the theory with this constraint, this would always be empty. Okay? So, this way of approaching the problem does not work. So, unluckily, I have to say, this is not the way you proceed in this framework. Okay? There are many situations in which you can treat inequality as a pair of inequality, not first-order optimality conditions. How do we do it? We simply start from scratch again, from the very beginning. And we define linearizing sets differently. Okay. Differently how? We treat inequality constraints in a special way. This is what we have for inequality constraints. Here, what you have for equality constraints is this. You don't treat them as a pair of inequality. You want the directions here to be somehow stationary directions for the HI. The meaning is the following. If I consider H this to be less than zero, I'm doing a descent direction. So let's suppose I'm starting from a point X bar where this is zero. Okay? A direction where this is negative is taking me down, and so this will become negative. Okay? A direction where this is positive is an increased direction, so it will drive me to points where this function is positive. I would like to keep it zero. The only way I can guarantee this is if this is true. Okay? I mean, it's likely that if this happens and I move along that direction, this function will increase, okay? Or decrease, and not stay equal to zero. But it's the only possibility I have. All the others guarantee that won't be true anyway. So linearizing cones are defined this way, and in both of them, okay, the strict one and the one with lesser window. The difference pays out only for inequalities. Then, I can prove in the same way I did for the case with the inequality constraint that the tangent cone is the subset of the linearizing cone. Okay? But this is the less interesting part, because for optimality condition, we rely on the other linearizing set, on the strict linearizing set. And this equality, this, sorry, inclusion here, is true provided under the assumption that here, the gradients of the equality constraints are linearly independent. Okay. So, our starting point is true if the gradients of the equality constraints are linearly independent. Okay? While with inequalities, both these inclusions were easy to prove. You find the proofs on my notes. They are just half page of Taylor's formula. With equality constraints, it is no longer that easy. Okay. The proof requires advanced mathematical tools from advanced calculus tools, and in particular they required a theorem which is known as the implicit function theorem, Teorema della funzione implicita, or for Italians and for people in Pisa, Dini's theorem. Okay? Dini's theorem on implicit functions. Okay? The Americans are crap, and they don't mention Dini in the name of the theorem. Okay? But so it requires a lot of machinery. I mean, it's a theorem that students of mathematics during their calculus 2 course, okay? Let's say advanced calculus. Okay. So it has to deal exactly with the topic I was telling you. Okay? Equality constraints define a surface. Okay? How do I keep being on this surface using calculus? Okay? This is. And Dini's theorem tells you the way you can do it. So, for the rest, everything is the same. Except that here, beyond this, you will be having equalities in the system for equality constraints. But the scheme is exactly the same. And when you exploit Mott-Skin theorem, you exploit a version where all beyond AK, B less, BL, B less or equal, there is also a C, CS, B equal or equal. Okay? But in Mott-Skin theorem, you can see an equality as two inequalities, and there everything works. Okay? So the shape of the theorem I gave you contains this as a particular case. But you apply Mott-Skin theorem in that way, and you get, you do all the machinery. I don't repeat because time is over, and because I won't repeat in any case, because it's exactly the same machinery. What does it change here? I write it the change in the Keros-Kuntater conditions. Here you will have plus some mu j, for j equal 1 to p, gradient of hj equal 0. Okay? Mu j can be negative. Okay? And then in feasibility you have this plus hj equal 0. So feasibility requires, of course, to satisfy those equality constraints. And the only change is here in the multipliers rules,
The same goes for the Greek John.
Thanks for reminding us.
You add these terms which depend okay? Indeed, if you see this, you could think as having the inequality constraint splitted twice, okay? I mean, inequality as less or equal and minus the constraint less or equal, you replace in the KKT condition and you get this, exactly in the same way. But splitting the inequality doesn't work for the proof, okay, for the thing. But the result then is as if you considered an inequality as two inequalities, okay? But proofs don't work, okay? And KKT conditions require constraint qualification, but the constraint qualification has this assumption inside as well, okay? Linear independence of the gradients of the equality constraints.